Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal here on WGN 720. We're here with Matt Smart, Naperville-born playwright. That was Hootie and the Blowfish. Did you know that Jim Sonfeld of Hootie is from Naperville?
No, that's news to me. That's great.
He went to college, I think, in the Carolinas, but I think he grew up in Naperville.
They were huge when I was at Waubonsie Valley.
Well, they were, really? Did people know that they were from Naperville?
Not that I know of, but we all Hootie was a big deal back then.
So you're playing Naperville. It's at the Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont, through October 16th. Outstanding. You know what? And I grew up in Naperville, as you grew up in Naperville. And I kind of went to see it. And I just, you know, I didn't want to over-personalize it just because I grew up in Naperville. But it's just a wonderful play about just the human experience and stuff. Our friend at the Chicago Sun-Times, Hedy Weiss, wrote, in essence, Naperville is a play about the act of breathing, of staying alive, and it is bound to leave you breathless. So tell us, it's set in a Caribou coffee shop on 95th Street, which is no longer there, right?
Right, now it's a That Burger joint.
So take it from there. I mean, how'd you put this together?
Well, for me, my plays, it's kind of like a snowball coming down a mountain. There's different things that clump together. And I'd always been interested in writing a play about someone dealing with blindness. And then it just became a story that I wanted to tell in Naperville that deals with – I mean, for me, a play needs to ask a question I don't know the answer to. And for me, that's I'm in New York City now because that's the best place for a playwright to be, but – I feel really drawn to Naperville and to the Chicago, you know, area. I mean, just walking here along Wacker and looking at the river, you know, I feel like a deep pull to this area. So, so it's just an opportunity to really probably write my most personal play.
And tell us about the characters. The blind person's a mother.
Yeah, it focuses on the a 6-year-old mother who's recently gone blind by an accident, and her son that comes back from Seattle to help out, who went to Waubonsie. He runs into, as you know, I often do in Naperville, an old high school acquaintance who, in the play was one of the cool girls who doesn't necessarily remember him initially. But after they get to talking, there's, you know, they had one, you know, interesting connection back in the day. And then there's also the barista of the Caribou who has his own history. That's a collage of some of my friends that I played in the band with. He plays clarinet. And so there's one speech especially that's a compilation of three of my music friends that went on to work professionally. And then there's the Good Samaritan Roy, who you sort of never know what to make of, but he's a big Jesus guy and loves to talk about Jesus, and how he unfolds, I think, is interesting.
I love Roy. He's one of my favorite characters. And did you write this at Caribou? I mean, how much of your did you write when you were a kid at Caribou? I mean, I read somewhere you did some writing at that Caribou shop.
Yeah, I used to go there when I was, you know, home and work at that Caribou quite a bit. So I spent a lot of time there. I think it was just about closed or closing when I was writing this. So I didn't actually work on this play there. But I definitely spent a lot of time drinking coffee and writing at that particular one.
There's such a sense of – there's a nuance and there's respect to it. It would have been, as many people do, real easy to maybe take a snarky attitude toward the suburbs and towards Naperville. Being from Naperville, I hear that a lot, you know. I told somebody just a couple days ago, it's almost like a really good John Prine song. It's just really, really a sweet and honest play. How'd you take that tact instead of trying just to be goofy and funny about Naperville, which had been the easy way out?
Well, I loved growing up there, and I had like a real spiritual, deep, artistic experience there. And so I kind of got sick of people dumping on the burbs and dumping on Naperville, and I wanted to defend it and show why it's a wonderful place to grow up.
Producer Dan Long, you're from Orland Park?
Orland Park, yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in Oak Lawn at Christ Oak Lawn. Out there.
The reason I want to ask you, I mean, you know, we're both so personalized about Naperville. Do you guys think this is a general thing about all the suburbs? To me, Naperville is like a target, like Schaumburg or something, but do you feel some of the same things about Orland Park, you know, just being kind of generic and the sameness and being a target for people?
Yeah, I think you could say that about any suburb is, you know, from people in the city, it's a target for some sort of inauthentic experience. But I think just because it definitely rings true for some people, but as the play kind of showed us, you can definitely pull something meaningful and authentic from a suburban experience. I don't think that's completely out of the question.
Yeah, yeah. And they have the same questions as urban people.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's in Naperville. Yeah, yeah. You were born at Edward Hospital in Naperville?
Yeah, that's right.
So tell us a little bit about you went to school. Tell us your introduction into writing and things like that.
My family has nothing to do with the arts, really. My dad was a physicist at Fermilab. My sister is a mission controller at NASA. My mom worked at AT&T, then Lucent Technologies. And I wasn't very good at writing. I that was like my lowest grades growing up. And so I really worked at it hard. And I think I just started to see it differently than other people. At Waubonsie, I wrote a column called Smart Thoughts for the Waubonsie Valley Voice. So that was a lot of fun. So my first introduction to writing was really through journalism and interviewing people and kind of going places that I, you know, didn't know about. And so I think that's part of, you know, my writing. I write a lot about home, and I write a lot about my travels. I'm trying to I've now gone to all the continents, and I want to write a play set on each one, and I just have South America left to do, and I just made it to Argentina, a couple other countries down there earlier this year. But for me, it's sort of, you know, really going back to Waubonsie and writing for the school newspaper, you know, it's about learning about a world that I don't know about or that I do know about, you know, and really trying to take an audience on that journey through that specific place.
Through your travels, how did and through your travels and also as you got older, I guess those are two questions in one, but how did your perception of Naperville change? How did you look at Naperville after you left and then would come back and visit? What altered?
I probably it's the dual experience of in some ways feeling like that was a very, very specific place and way to grow up, that in a strange way is, you know, is quite similar, I think, to other suburban experiences. And I think that you can go through that experience not getting out of it and maybe having a narrow point of view, or you can use some of the privileges and the opportunities of growing up in a place like that to help you see other places. So, I mean, a lot of my travels have been based in, like, studies or even work, like my Antarctic experience. I was working at a science base as a janitor. But in a way, it's made me, I think growing up in Naperville made me want to get out more and made me appreciate more where I'm from.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. Yeah. I mean, I did want to, the older you get, I mean, I did want to leave early. Now, you know, you go through changes in life and things happen, then you kind of want to hold on to some of that, you know.
What would you say the biggest change in Naperville from now to when you were growing up is?
Traffic. For my parents, I would run errands, man. I would get lost, you know, and they were a little subdivision called Willoway. They call it downtown now. It's by the DuPage River there. But I remember some of those, we used to make jokes, the Maple Brooks. It was like Maple Brook 19, Maple Brook 20, just all the subdivision, the sprawl. Mm-hmm. Like I wrote on my little blog. You're in that 95th Street, that really didn't even exist when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I went to Naperville Central, mm-hmm. and that was just all farmland down there, you know. So, yeah, the traffic's big. I think identity, I think it's real interesting to talk about Naperville. I knew Officer Prado, who became mayor. I wrote about him for the Sun-Times when he was still Officer Friendly, and then he became mayor. And he always got elected mayor as this, like, Barney Fife figurehead, you know, because everybody wanted to hold on. The old Naperville would vote for him, and he represented a small-town thing. But there's such an in-and-out population there. A lot of people only lived there 4 or 5 years. They never bothered to vote, so you know, there was the whole Prado thing. That was funny.
Yeah, I got to interview Prado when I was in high school for a story in the newspaper, and I was just so amazed. he called me like in the evening one night. I think he was getting ready to go for bed, and he just gave me like an hour. He was
sweet.
He was not in a hurry. He was so friendly.
Yeah, he was.
But that was a really cool moment for a high school kid to be like, oh, my mayor actually cares about me.
He'd come to our school. We got transferred there, so we settled in Naperville when I was in fifth grade. So it was either Naper School or maybe it was Washington Junior High. But he'd come to school, and he was just like, Andy, he'd come and twirl guns in front of us and stuff. He's a really sweet man. He's retired now, but I think he might be sick because I walk around Naperville, and there's little boxes to send him get well cards and stuff.
Okay.
I think he's finding stuff. This played in New York off Broadway, Naperville,
mm-hmm. yep.
2014.
Correct.
What was the response in New York?
It was very enthusiastic. People loved spending the evening in Naperville, so to speak. But I think because most of the people who saw it there don't know it, don't have a personal experience with it, it kind of became like this mythical kind of paradigm. And so I think they believed whatever I told them about Naperville. And here I'm finding that people are walking in with their own baggage about it.
Right.
And how I present it is either sort of intention or goes along with that. So I think it's quite a bit different here.
I mean, I couldn't believe, again, my own baggage. I mean, same church. Did you go to Grace Church?
We did go to Grace Methodist for a while, yes.
Yeah. Taking care of your parents. I mean, it was just such, for me, it was a very, very personal. It wasn't like, this is your life. It was, this was your life. It's uh-huh. very, very crazy.
Yeah. And one exciting thing for me as I learned more about the founding of the town was that with Joe Naper, I was just so blown away that he was a shipbuilder and, sailed around the Great Lakes. And then when he was 32, he made this huge life change to found this town. And I just think that's so amazing. I never knew that. And so it really became a metaphor that I ran with the play.
Good. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. We're going to talk some more Naperville and some baseball with Matt Smart here on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. We're here with playwright Matt Smart, who wrote the hit play Naperville. And it's running through October 16th at Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont in Chicago. How many years did you spend in Naperville before you left?
Well, I was born there. I grew up there, went to Waubonsie. And then when I graduated from there, I was 18, and I went to college. A little school, really wonderful school, Southern Indiana, University of Evansville. And then I went to grad school in San Diego and went to New York for 4 years, Minneapolis for a few years, back in New York. So I've bounced around a little bit, but my mom has always been there. And so I get back, two, three, four, five times a year.
Where do you go in Naperville? Do you have favorite restaurants or anything? I would always drag my parents to Heaven on 7. They weren't real. I like Heaven on 7 downtown.
The chef there gave my mom, I think, best crust at the last Fling apple pie contest, and so we got a gift certificate there. So, I always love to get like a Lou Malnati's pizza. I like to go get a beef and cheddar croissant at Portillo's. Those are my two jams.
I think it was interesting. I was reading, getting my research together for this. When your dad worked at Fermilab, you told somebody once that he got you interested in the big questions. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure, yeah. We would sometimes go visit work with him on Saturday mornings. And the one experiment that he was involved with, the Minos experiment, was dealt with neutrinos. I was most interested in that. And in a very big way that was trying to figure out, it's more complicated than this, but the big question of that was, is the universe going to keep expanding, stop, or collapse back in on itself? Which
wow.
I think is a pretty interesting question, so that's what I kind of grew up talking about. We might as well ask the big questions of existence. And then just for me, like I was saying about my writing, I saw it kind of differently. So I really try to take that with my writing, to ask a question in every one of my plays that I don't know the answer to, so that the act itself is really trying to figure something out.
Wow, that's great. So now I see more of the parallel with what we see in Naperville.
Cool. Yeah.
Interesting. Why'd you decide to stick with the name Naperville for the play?
The verse title, which I won't tell you, was terrible. So that was one. But it just really allowed me to lean into making it very specifically about Naperville. I mean, I do hope it is universal and that people who've been there or not been there can draw something from it. But it really is about Naperville. You know, Evan Lysacek is a hero there, and Joe Naper, and you know, these specific places that I mentioned, I spent a lot of time at. So I really try to, you know, it is an homage to my home.
Did you know a guy like Roy? I mean, Roy was one of my favorite characters in the play, but did you know a guy like him, or is he a composite of a bunch of different people?
He's a composite of a few folks, yeah. But you know, I think sometimes when people just want to help, you question their motives, and sometimes their motives are just that they want to help and that they have a specific reason for wanting to help from their past, which sort of gets revealed in the play.
How'd you hook up with Theater Wit?
That's the funny thing about theater is you never know when you're going to make connections. So in Portland, Oregon is how I met up with Theater Wit. The artistic director, Jeremy Wexler, his wife, Penny Peniston, is a wonderful playwright. And we were doing a workshop at Portland Center Stage. And so Jeremy came out to see it. He met me, heard about a play that I had called Naperville, so he wanted to read it. And he really dug it and decided to do it. And it just happened. It happened very quickly.
It really is. It's just a wonderful piece of work. Your travels, another thing that connects us besides Naperville is everybody here in the studio is our love of baseball. How'd that happen? You've been to all 30 major league parks. Yeah. I can't even claim that. I'm missing Texas. I think that's the last one for me. But
yeah, I've been to all the current ones. And so when one would close, like I went to the old Cincinnati park, and so when it would close, I'd have to go to the new one. So I've been to 40 overall. and I'll have to go to Atlanta next year because they're going to have a new stadium. Yeah. You know, honestly, it was because of WGN. You know, like I would be watching the Cubbies on the afternoon when I got home from school. So I just grew to love them and collected baseball cards, and it just once I got a little bit older and had a car, you know, I just started road tripping and going to all these stadiums, and I just love it. I love how, you know, time kind of slows down, and you know, there's this funny saying, baseball isn't boring, you are, if you think baseball's boring, which I kind of love. But I just love how it kind of slows down time, and you're really seeing the game for the most part as someone would seen it like 100 years ago. I just love that.
Bill Veeck used to talk about it was the greatest sport because you could actually, and this kind of ties into what we're doing, I mean, you could actually talk and converse between it, and especially these days. I mean, it moves so slow, but you can, you know, you can talk and talk about how things are developing. You can talk about it. It's just a very, very nice pace to the game.
Yeah, and I'll make a pitch for another play of mine that I'm hoping to get a home for in Chicago. I wrote a play called Tinker to Evers to Chance, which takes place the night of Game 6, the 2003 NLCS, so the Bartman game.
Oh, I was there for that. Yeah.
You were there?
Yeah, I was. It was rough. I mean, were you working? No.
I was in eighth grade.
Oh, you were in eighth grade. Dan's been here 30 years.
I was glued to my TV in a horrified way.
But, yeah, being there, you know, I mean, it was just, like, electric. There were, at that time, they had the blimps up, and the streets were all full, and it was just like a pin in a balloon. The place just got dark. It was really sad.
Well, there's that crazy story about, I think Tom Brenneman was there, and he saw Michael Jordan hiding, because Jordan was like, there's 100,000 zombies here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So tell us what's the plans for this play? I mean,
well, it's been done in at Jiva in Rochester, New York, and at Merrimack Rep in Lowell, Massachusetts, which they kind of, you know, it's all about hope, and you know, the Cubs have been a metaphor for in a lot of different ways. But that play asks, you know, when is hope a good thing, and when is hope can be a harmful thing, you know, when you should like let go, and sort of about the Cubs winning the World Series or not. That's the sort of central question and how it plays into the relationships in that play. But I really hope someone will do it, but I think it'll be different after the Cubs win the World Series this year.
There's a great moment in Naperville that really kind of turned a corner for me, just as I'm not a theater critic, but the detail he uses is really, really great, where you have the character going playing for the Omaha Storm Chasers and going to Des Moines to see the Iowa Cubs. You even referenced the bar I've been to in Des Moines. I mean, so you have the eye of a reporter in a lot of this stuff. You pay attention to detail.
Yeah, I mean, I love the details. I feel like in the details we find so much life.
Yeah, yeah. Do you go to minor league games too? Have you been to Des Moines?
You know, I haven't started doing that. I've been to a couple, but I'm a little bit afraid that if I start, I'll want to go to all the minor league parks, which is a lot more.
You got to go next summer. You've got to go. I always send people to the Clinton Lumber Kings right on the Mississippi River in Clinton, Iowa. It's really only like a two-hour drive from Naperville. It's great because it's an old WPA ballpark, and it's like, you know, it's like the way minor league baseball was in the 40s and 50s. Like bricks, you know, brick seats, and you sit right on the field. It's really, really a charming place. So cool. Put that on your list.
All right.
You'll like that. So what else do you have coming up?
I have two commissions I'm working on now. One is actually here in Chicago with the Second City. I'm writing a comedy for them. They're getting into more scripted comedies, so we're giving that a try. So I'll be back in October to work on that with Second City and also the La Jolla Playhouse. It's a dual commission. And then the thing I'm writing today, working on, is I have another commission. I pitched an idea to Jeeva in Rochester. Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass were very good friends for 45 years. And they were sometimes adversaries, sometimes allies. They both lived in Rochester. So I'm writing a play about their relationship, and there's been no scholarly work about their relationship, so I've had to do all kinds of research. So that's a totally different world than Naperville today. You know, I've been working, you know, writing about the 19th century and these two historical giants, but it's really fascinating.
Wow. Wow. That's... When did you write Naperville? When did you write that? I mean, how long ago?
I wrote it, the first draft, back in March of 2014, and I wrote the first draft in about a week, and I've been working on it and changing it and tweaking it since then, but it really just poured out very quickly.
Naperville, again, premiered off Broadway in 2014 at New York Slant Theater Project. New York Times, Critics Pick, and New York Theater Review hailed Smart's heartfelt and beautiful meditation on the comedy and tragedy of Quiet Places We Are Too Quick to Forget, and a Valentine to the heart and soul of the American suburbs. It's a really, really wonderful piece. Run out and see it. It is Naperville. It is running through October 16th at Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont. And you can find tickets through theaterwit.org or call 773-975-8150. You can be back in October.
Yeah, I'll be back in October.
So we're going to go to a World Series game at Wrigley?
Yeah, hopefully there'll be something happening on the north
side. Three of us
then.
Will go. Matt, I'm worried. He hears this all the time. We're airing this, you know, September 20th, but I mean, I don't know. I felt it last year. I'm not feeling it this year.
We're a super team. it's gonna be great.
Okay.
I think they might not lose a game in the postseason.
Hope. That's what you were talking about. All right, thanks a lot to Matt Smart, playwright of Naperville, on Nocturnal Journal 720 WGN.